Thank y'all very much. Beautiful. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. We're so thankful for this day and what it represents. I have a card I need to read here. Grateful and blessed. Thanks for all the calls, prayers, and cards. Thank you for your thoughts during this time. Love, Martha Perdue. Thank you so much. On Wednesday of this week, we'll have our normal Wednesday night services. On Thursday at 6 p.m., the Yadkin Baptist Associational semi-annual meeting will be held at Triple Cross Cowboy Church at the arena in Lone Hickory. If you are interested in having a baby dedication on Mother's Day, please see Pastor Greg. We will be feeding the Weimar Davy faculty and staff on May the 29th. If you're interested in helping, please contact Angela Spielman, and her number is in the bulletin. There will be a spaghetti supper on May 17th at 5 p.m. to raise money for Operation Christmas Child. If you need tickets for that, which are $10, or under five is $5, please see Christy or Greg Coble and Jimmy and Lisa Hyde, and I forgot who the others are, but you ask around, somebody will know who to give the money to and get your ticket. So, let's see. I understand that the GA craft fair went well and that they surpassed their goal for the number they had. I'm not sure what that is yet, but Angela told me they had surpassed their goal. So that's a wonderful thing, and those girls have worked hard, and they had many beautiful items, and some are still over in the fellowship hall if you're interested in looking. We'll be collecting money and food for the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina. You can check out that information on the back side of your bulletin to be better informed about that. So I think that's pretty much all the announcements. Does anyone else have anything? If not, let's turn to hymn number 162, The First Lord's Day, and stand as we sing.
Joy, we sing for joy, with loving thanks we say, Good morning on this very, 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 very special day. You know, Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. If you look at Mark 8, look at Mark 9, look at Mark 10, he told his disciples what was going to happen to him. He was going to be crucified. He was going to rise again. And when he did rise again, hundreds saw him and witnessed it. So we have a very documented, unbelievable story. Jimmy today in the Sunday school class painted an incredible picture of this, and it was horrible. But what an unbelievable picture that shows us of love, that a perfect Jesus Christ would be put through all of that horrible stuff because he loved us that much. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, Neil Hatfield has a saying, eternity's too long to get it wrong. There are a lot of people in our society, they're getting it wrong. Help us as Christians to live a life and to share a life that brings about eternal life forever. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity for the offering, and we pray that 100% of it goes to whatever you want it to go to. We thank you for all the things that have been done, for all the goals that have been met. And we pray that you'll be with Greg and just help him, as always, to do an incredible job. In your most precious and holy name, amen.
Good to see so many people back with us today that hadn't been able to make it because of illness or sickness. It's a beautiful day to be back in the house of the Lord. When I think of Easter, I think of a message I heard by Reverend Lockridge. I was listening to him one day. He used to get hung up on the tomb of Christ. You know, he used to make him mad that the King of all kings was placed in a borrowed tomb. Then he realized it was borrowed because, well, he wasn't going to stay there long. It's kind of like, why go buy a ladder when you can walk over to your neighbors and you're just going to use it one time? is Jesus went in there and he did the most honorable thing. He just went in there and waited till it was time to walk out, and he made it better than before he came in the grave. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our gift for salvation. Father, we just reflect on your Son, Jesus, as through Friday he suffered torment, agony, pain, separation. Father, any type of just deplorable and wretched thing that could happen to a human being was placed on Jesus, and our sins were placed in him, Father. That we can come before you on this day, on this resurrection day, on this Sunday, and claim victory through the death of Jesus. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for this glorious victory, because we are conquerors through your death. Through your victory, we are made pure, we are made holy, and we are made righteous. Let us go forth and just remember that we are only made righteous through your blood, and it is through your blood that we should honor all things that we do say. Father, we just thank you. We pray that you'll be with us through our worship hour. Be with Pastor Greg. Empower him through your Spirit and open our hearts to receive your message to us this day. For it's in your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 160, Low in the Grave He Lay. Each other as the children come up.
Thank you. Let's get this thing turned on. Is this on?
Yes. Hello? Hello? All right. Good morning, guys. How was y'all's Easter?
Good.
What did the Easter bunny bring you?
Good.
Huh? Did he bring you candy?
No.
Anybody get a chocolate bunny?
No.
I sure did. It was pretty good. I already ate it.
My sister got
home
from her
preschool. Oh, really? That's awesome. I already ate mine this morning. I was hungry. Well, it's so good that y'all are here and that y'all have had such a good Easter already. And now we're about to make it even better, okay? Because we're going to be reading out of Matthew 28 today. We're going to talk about the resurrection of the Lord, okay? All right, so I'm going to read this, and then after I get done, y'all are going to help me follow along and read out of this little pamphlet that you guys can color and read anytime you can, so you can take it with you. All right, so here we go. The verses say, "Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he is risen, and he said, Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up to him and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" So there we see the story of how Jesus was crucified in the beginning, right? And then when they came to look for him in the tomb, he wasn't there, right? And the stone had been rolled away.
Yep.
Yep, that's right. And guess what? So just like Pastor Rodney had said earlier, that tomb was a temporary holding place for him for something that was so much, so much more greater than anything that we could ever imagine, right? Because through that, Jesus was able to be our Savior, right? And he came back from the dead. And that's something that, guess what? Nobody's ever done. So now we're going to read out of this little thing. And y'all can read along with me. I think it turns to the right, okay? So the first one says, "After Jesus died on the cross, his followers laid him in the tomb with a rounded stone. On the third day after his death, Mary Magdalene and the other woman came to visit Jesus' tomb, but it was empty. The stone had been rolled away. Angels appeared to the woman and said, 'Why are you looking for Jesus here? He is alive.' The woman went to tell the apostles that Jesus had been resurrected and that they ran to the tomb to see for themselves. Later, Jesus appeared to Mary and the apostles and everyone else. They rejoiced and realized that Jesus had been resurrected." Anybody like to pray this morning? Thomas?
Dear Lord, thank you for all these boys and girls, and bless us with the food boxes. And thank you, God, for all these people for coming. And please have a wonderful Easter. And let's have a great time at your friend's house. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything that you give us, Lord. We are so thankful for you and all your many blessings. Lord, just help us as we go through this day, Lord, to just remember the true reason for today, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, Lord, and being raised in the light, Lord. Help us just to continue to walk in faith with you, Lord, and just help us to share the message of you and just bring more disciples to you, Lord. In your precious name I pray, amen.
Thank you. Good morning. Tell you what, if you ain't happy today, your happy's broke and you need to go get a new one. Amen? What a great day. Good Easter morning to you. Good Resurrection Sunday to you as we gather together to celebrate our risen Lord. I couldn't help but think while I was sitting and listening to the music that one time, 2,000 years ago or more, a miracle walked out of a tomb. But I noticed this morning, God still causes miracles to walk in the front doors of the church. Miss Donna, we are so glad you are back. Amen. Yep. Amen. Someday you'll hear her testimony all the way through, but she told me in that room, she says, God, I was this close. Why'd you bring me back? He's got something for me to do. And you're back with us. Praise the Lord. You are here with us today. What a joy. I'm so excited today. I can't help it that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being shared in a special way all over the world today, different times, different places. And whichever passage is chosen, whichever gospel, whichever writer, the author is still from on high, and the story is still the same. Christ was crucified. He spent 3 days in a tomb, but on that final day, yes, amen, the stone was rolled away, and we can all proclaim as one, He is risen. Amen? Let's do this together. One, two, three. He is risen. Yes, yes, amen. That's why we're here this morning. That's the source of our hope. That's the origin of our joy. It has nothing to do with all that the world may try to add to the day, but everything to do with Jesus. It's not eggs, not bunnies, not jelly beans, not peeps, not our pretty bonnets or our colorful clothes. None of that, not at all, church. It's about Jesus Christ and Him risen from the grave. As I heard on the radio yesterday, it's not about a bunny, but it's all about a lamb, the Lamb of God. Amen? And that's why we're here. Let me say welcome to our visitors, some I haven't seen in a while and some that I've never seen. But to both, you are honored guests today, and we're so glad you're here. And may God impress it upon your hearts to return at every opportunity. I want you to understand this about Bear Creek. You are always wanted and you're always welcomed here. And I hope you feel that way today. All right, what a day it's been. A great and wonderful day. Many of us gathered very early this morning in the cool of the morning in the cemetery. Rodney did such a great job with our sunrise service. Then we gathered around the table, had breakfast and fellowship together. After that, a great time of Sunday school. And I see people coming out of the Sunday school. You're already so excited because you've been in the Word of God. And now we're here together, have this time of worship as we open the Bible and as we break the bread of life together. I know some of you are going to be ready for a nap real soon because it's been a long day so far. But bear with me for just a little bit, and then you have the whole afternoon to sleep off your jelly bean coma that you'll have later. All right, so if you have your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. While y'all are getting there, I'm looking at you because y'all are a good-looking crowd today. Everybody looks so pretty and nice. If you're gonna put on the dog one day, do it for Easter, right? Put on your best. Everybody looks good. Amen. Love it. Love it. All right, so here we go. Chapter 2, once you get there, I want you to find verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11. You got it? Once you get there, just shout jelly beans and I'll know you got it. Jelly beans. Hey, it sounds good. All right, that's everybody. All right, here's what it says. This is Apostle Paul speaking. He said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But notice this, He emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue, church, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Amen. All right, so turn to the person beside you and ask them just be as serious as you can, all right? This is hard for some of you. But ask the person beside you, have you ever wondered why we have an Easter bunny bringing eggs? One more question. Say, shouldn't it have been an Easter chicken? Which would be real good right now the way eggs are, right? Church, this is the burning questions that keeps me up at night, okay? So I'm hoping you can give me answers anyway. Bow with me today. Our Father, we thank you for your great blessings, Lord, and what a great blessing today is as we celebrate again our risen Lord. Oh, Father, what a day, what a joy this is. And so, Father, as we open your word, as we consider this message from your word, we're going to be thinking about our Savior. And Lord, help us to consider what a great Savior he is. Lord, guide us in all that you'd have us to do today. May it all be done according to your will and plan. Father, through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's jump in at verse 5. Let's go ahead and get started there if you've got your Bibles in place and see what God would have us learn from this passage of Scripture today. All right, so Paul says here, have this mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ Jesus. Okay, my friends, this is about as heavy a verse as you might find in regard to your responsibility as believers. Have this mind among yourselves. Now think about that for a minute. What kind of mind is Paul talking about here? Because a church this size is bound to be full of all kinds of mindsets and minds, right? Look around you and think about that a minute, right? Now, I've been told for years that 10 Baptists equals at least how many opinions? 20 different opinions, right? Amen, somebody said. That could be a conservative estimate. In some cases, 10 Baptists, 20 opinions. Don't look around. Don't point. It may be you I'm talking about. Could be you, all right? Anyway, we are different people with different circumstances, different life experiences, and therefore different mindsets. And left to our own and apart from any shared commonality, it would be very difficult for us to get along in order to go along with anything we might be called to do together. Sound about right? Amen. We need to find commonality. Have you ever been a part of a group or organization like that that just couldn't get it all together? It's not a very effective organization, is it? And so Paul, he set about to point the church to a great and wonderful commonality. He said what? He said, have this mind among yourselves, one that you have in your relationship with Christ Jesus. Church, we are one in Christ. We're one body, the body of Christ, the church. But are we of one mind? Are we all on the same page about what we're supposed to do? I thought about something, and we all know this. When in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, we say we are one nation under God, and it says we are indivisible. My friends, we ought to be all that and more in Christ our Lord. Amen? We must be united in Christ, functioning with the heart of Christ, embracing our place in the plan of Christ. And in order to fulfill the purpose of Christ to be accomplished through the church, we must be of one mind in Christ. But here's the problem. We can't do it until we get our minds right. You know what that looks like? That's like getting over self and getting under obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get there. Paul taught another church this. He said, do not be conformed to this world. He said, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds. All right? There's a big difference, my friends, between a mind conformed to this world and one transformed by a right relationship with Jesus. Amen? Because the world's going to tell you, oh, it's all about me. It's about what's best for me, what I want for me, what I feel me deserves. Does that sound like the mind of Christ? Not at all, not at all, not even close. In fact, quite the opposite. That's a mind a long way from transformed. And so notice what Paul says in verse 6 as he describes the mind of Christ, the mind that we must embrace and apply as we're being transformed into his image and his way of thinking. So look at verse 6. Here's what Paul says. Who though he, Jesus, was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. I'm just going to hold right there. My friends, this is as far from a worldly mindset as we could possibly comprehend. This is no thought for self, and yet every thought toward the plan of God and the good of others. That's what occupied the mind of Christ. That's what has to be our minds. And isn't that the Easter message, though? Doesn't that tell us about why Jesus came and why he did what he did? We realize this. Jesus laid aside a robe and crown, his place as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he did so for the good of others, church. This is the very Son of God, but he didn't excuse himself from what had to be done because of his high position, but rather he embraced the mission. He stepped down into this mess of a world for all the lost people who would be saved by his selfless sacrifice. Church, Jesus is that kind of Savior. Amen? See, the best people I've ever worked for, the best people I've ever served under, were always the kind of boss or supervisor or leader who would never ask you to do anything they wouldn't do or hadn't already done themselves. These are the kind of folks that would likely left at the end of the day as tired as anyone else, as dirty as anyone else. And so much more so is Jesus, who, as this verse declared, did not count even equality with God a thing to be grasped. Look, when you think about Jesus, he wasn't dictating from on high, but rather participating down low, down here among us. And no doubt never requiring more of us, never asking more of us than he has already done himself. Amen? Church, look all you want elsewhere, but there's no greater picture of humility than that of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the mindset we must have to serve him, the mindset we must have to serve others in his name, the mindset we must have to be his representatives in this world, never functioning in consideration of self, but always thinking of the good of others, and especially those who need Jesus the most. And if Jesus can lay aside his title to do what he did for us, surely it's very little to ask of us just to simply get over ourselves and get under Jesus' great example in order to do what he's called us to do for him. Amen? Look, it defies explanation how any follower of Jesus, who, by the way, is called to be the image bearer of Jesus, could consider anything at all, any act of service as beneath them in light of what Christ has done for us. Amen? Look at verse 7 as Paul continues to show us the kind of Savior we have. He says, Christ Jesus emptied himself, laid aside all that royalty for us by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. My friends, this is Jesus, our Jesus, who left heaven to be born in a stable and to be raised as a carpenter's son. This is Jesus who washed feet, who waited tables. This is Jesus who dined with sinners and tax collectors and who took the hand of the leper and the lame to heal them. This is Jesus who spent time at the well with the despised Samaritan woman and then defended another woman who had been caught in adultery. And this is Jesus who, though he is God, became as a man, even as a servant, for the good of others. Because, yes, amen, he is that kind of Savior, church. That kind of Savior. But that's only part of the story. Because the road that Christ Jesus walked, it didn't get any easier from there. It only gets worse. Look at verse 8, what Paul says here. He said, Jesus, being found in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, Jesus had taught his followers something. He said, greater love has no man than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. And Paul tells us here in verse 8, Jesus didn't only teach it, Jesus lived it, he embodied it, he did it. Jesus laid down his life, for there was no other way to do what must be done. Church, there was a penalty that had to be paid, and there had to be a pure and spotless lamb sacrificed to pay that penalty, and there was only one who was qualified, and it is Jesus our Lord. And so I want you to understand this about Jesus. He walked a path we couldn't walk. He carried a cross we couldn't carry. He endured a crucifixion we couldn't endure. He paid a penalty we couldn't pay. He died a death we couldn't die. And through this bought for us a salvation that we couldn't afford. Amen? That kind of Savior. Church, what must our response be to that kind of Savior? Think about it. The Gospels paint such a strong picture of what Jesus endured. We need to think about that today. The rejection of the people he came to save. The cries to crucify him as he stood before Pilate. Those beatings with his flesh being torn from his body. The crown of thorns pressed upon his head. The shame Jesus endured as his garments were stripped from him. And then there's the cross as the price simply goes up. The price he was paying for you and I. Remember it again, the outstretched hands and the nails driven through them and another nail driven through Jesus' feet. And then he's lifted up and he's placed between two thieves as if he too is a criminal. He's left out in the open for all those hours as passersby and the gathered crowd, instead of praising him, mocked him. And for 6 hours he's left there, his life slowly draining from him as his blood runs down the cross and our sin debt is being washed away. And when he finally dies, a spear is driven into his side. It's almost as if it's insult to injury, but it must be done to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 53:5. He was pierced for our transgressions. No price was too great for him to pay, and he paid it. My friends, knowing that this is done for us, it ought to be sufficient enough to convict any man unto salvation, for that's a right response to our Savior. He died for us, what? So that we could simply live for him. But still, some resist, some reject him. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to reach the hardened hearts of men? I wonder if so hard-hearted a soul were to be allowed to feel what Jesus felt for only a minute. I'm talking about the shame. I'm talking about the pain, the weight of the burdens Jesus bore. Would all then finally surrender for the salvation he bought for them on that cross? Church, praise be to God. He doesn't require those things of us. That's not on the list. All we have to do is to hear and accept the offer and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's all it takes, because he's that kind of Savior. That kind of Savior. One who, as a writer of Hebrews taught, said this, that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Think about that a moment. Did you catch that word? Joy. Imagine the cross. Where's the joy there? What a thought. Where's the joy in what Jesus suffered? My friends, the joy wasn't found in the beatings, the humiliation, or the nails. Those were all simply a means to an end. Knowing every name of every soul who would be saved by his sacrifice was his joy. You were his joy. Your salvation is his joy. Amen. Jesus is, church, that kind of Savior. Saved us all. Let's move on to verse 9 as we move from the cross to the tomb. And Paul says here, therefore God has highly exalted him. We think about where he is today, resurrected, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Church, I was thinking about this again this morning. I believe the darkest hours in all of history, the darkest time of all of history, was Jesus on the cross. 6 hours. But there was a 3-hour period of specific. It was not only literal darkness, it was spiritual darkness. The sins of all mankind of all time were laid upon our precious Savior there on that cross. It was as dark as it was going to get right there. But Jesus knew the light was getting ready to shine. The light was getting ready to shine. After Jesus' death, he was taken by Joseph Arimathea. He was laid in that borrowed tomb. Like we've heard twice today already, it was borrowed. Why, church? Because he wasn't going to need it very long. Amen? Amen. Amen. In fact, on the third day after the crucifixion, Jesus is raised from the dead. That's what we're celebrating today. Church, death was unable to keep him. The grave was unable to hold him. The stone that sealed the tomb was no great hindrance to Jesus. And so Jesus walked out of that tomb having defeated death, hell, and the grave. The light that shone that day, that's the same light that shines today, church. It's the light that shines in this place today. The light of the world, Jesus our Lord. What a victory. My favorite song most of the time, oh, Victory in Jesus. I have to get up every day and sing it a little bit. Stephanie has to hear it. Y'all don't. Amen. Oh, victory in Jesus. And that's the victory that we celebrate today. Knowing that because Jesus is resurrected, we too who know him as Savior will also be resurrected. Some of us already got our plots picked out in the cemetery, but you know what? They might as well be barred. Guess what? We ain't going to need them all that long. Resurrection is ours too. And now, with the victory won, God has highly exalted Jesus, and God has placed upon him the name that is above every name, the only name by which men may be saved. That's good news to me. To search otherwise would be the epitome of an exercise in futility. That's a lot of big words, ain't it? Epitome. I swung it in there, didn't I? I went to William R. Davy. We was educated good up in there. But Jesus is still. Nothing has changed. John 14:6 is still true. He said, I'm still the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. And so I ask you again, what must our response be to that kind of Savior? Paul's getting ready to tell us. Look at verse 10 as he starts to tell us two things he tells us. He says in verse 10, he says, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So let me ask you, when was the last time you bowed before Jesus? When was the last time you were brought to your knees by the name of Jesus? You heard his name and you just had to drop right there. So in awe of Jesus. Are we still of such a mindset toward him as we were when we first believed? Do you remember that day? Maybe it was a church altar, a friend's house beside your bed, or wherever you were when you surrendered to Jesus for salvation. Church, I want you to know he's still worthy of such a response as that. He's still worthy of us bowing before him. He's still worthy of our reverent awe and fear. He's still worthy of such an act of true gratitude from us. Church, this ought to be our basic acceptable response to Jesus every day of our lives, that we would take time to bow before Him and to pour out your heart to Him and your gratitude for Him. And I believe if we were to every day thank Him for the cross, we'd never forget what that cross ought to mean to us. I get a lot of time in this sanctuary, coming almost every day to pray. Lately, since we've had this cross in place, I've been able to come in and look at it and to think and to ponder what that cross means to me. Brothers and sisters, I pray that I will never get over what Jesus has done for me. I hope you feel the same. And then finally in verse 11, notice what he says, another response we need to have. He said that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. What does that tell us? Our response to that kind of Savior, our Savior, it must be a vocal response. We've got to be doing a little bit of talking, a little witnessing, a little testifying. Jesus ever on our minds must lead to His story being ever on our tongues. And you know this story. It started at Bethlehem and it goes to Golgotha. You know the path Jesus walked and you know why He walked it. And so, just as I ask you, when was the last time you bowed before Him? When was the last time you told someone about Him? Told your story, what Jesus has done for you. About what He did through His death and resurrection. About what He's done for you personally. About how He has changed your life. About how He has brought hope into your life. Church, every one of us, every tongue ought to be confessing Jesus Christ is Lord. And doing so to the glory of God the Father, and continuing to do so until everyone knows and all are left without excuse. Church, today something's going to happen. We're going to wish a lot of people a happy Easter. And so why not take the time to include why it's a happy Easter? Can you answer that question if somebody asks you why it's a happy Easter? I think it'd be easy enough to say it's a happy Easter because we have a Savior named Jesus who so loved the world enough to die to save it. Church, Jesus truly is that kind of Savior. What kind of follower will we be in response to that? Death could not hold Him. The grave could not keep Him. But I pray you have a heart that will never let Him go. That's a pretty good place to start, isn't it? Amen, amen. So how will we respond to our Savior? As we come to a time of invitation, laying aside all other thoughts and distractions, listen to Jesus speak into your hearts. Do whatever He's asking you to do, leading you to do. However He leads you, all you got to do is follow. Just respond. Come to His altar for whatever He leads you there for. There's public decisions, salvation, baptism, church membership. Or there's other things. There's private times of confession when you just bow down this altar in a prayer that leads you to restoration. Just you and the Heavenly Father spending time on the altar together. We have this special time for these special reasons. And all it will do today on this special day, if it happened today, is just elicit joy in heaven and praise in the church as we see the Lord moving among us. I'm going to pray, and then Linda's going to come and lead us in a closing hymn. And the altar is yours as we stand and sing. Stand with me. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for this special day. Thank You, Lord, that Your word has been spoken, that all who have heard would be left without excuse. All who have heard would have the opportunity now to respond to You, our great and risen Savior. Help us, Lord, in this time to do what You would have us to do. Give us boldness where we need to be bold, humility where we need to be humble, and confidence where we need to be confident, just confident in You. Help us in this time, we pray, through the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 606.
Blood.
And blessed and wonderful day. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. We've got lots of activities this afternoon. I know you'll be around tables spending time with family and maybe hunting Easter eggs and all kinds of good things, but make sure that you remember to keep Jesus in the center of all that you do today. That's why we're here. That's what this is all about. Amen. Amen. All right, so many of us will see each other Wednesday, but until you see each other again, look after each other, take care of each other, look in on each other. If you know somebody's struggling, check in on them. We're so blessed again to have Donna and Dale back today, and what a great praise that is. I'm going to ask, if you don't mind, Brother Olin, if you don't mind to come and close us in a prayer this morning, to come to the podium.
Father, we thank you for this day that we've been able to come together and celebrate the resurrection of our Savior and the salvation we have through his blood. Ask now that you would go with each of us, draw us closer to you, and help us to be a better witness and servant for thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.